Again, if you'll notice, we have that banner up there. That is our theme for the year. Our strength comes from the Lord. And if you'll notice there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is even the verse that is used. And throughout the year, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be hitting that theme quite a bit. And the reason why is because the great mistake I feel that people do, Christians do today, probably more than anything else, and the reason that we fail so much is because it seems like everything we do, we try to do in our own strength, on our own terms, and we don't really seek the Lord on much. And then when we fail, then we wonder why we fail. And the reason why is because we're not relying on the Lord's strength. We're not relying on His strength to get things done. And I think that we fail because of that. Now tonight, I'm going to be preaching on 1 Corinthians 2. And it sort of has that theme. But here, if you'll notice, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at me with starting at verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren," Paul here is talking to the Corinthian church, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Again, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning or tonight, Lord, for your word, and I thank you for the opportunity and privilege, Lord, to preach your word tonight. Father, I pray that as the word is being preached, Lord, I just pray you open up our ears and our hearts to it tonight. Help us to see the truth of it. Help us to grow by it. And Lord, help us tonight to make sure that we just know you better, Lord, and help us to continue to know you better day by day as we continue to get older, as we grow in Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. One of the great tragedies in the 20th century is that people come to church to learn about God, but really, they never really know God. In other words, they come to learn about God, but they really never know God too much. And the truth is, you can know about God, but not know God. There are a lot of people today that have what we call their head smart. In other words, they can quote you Bible verses, but that doesn't even mean they're saved. You know, one of the things that I hear people say a lot, especially when preachers start to argue over nonsense, things that doesn't mean a hill of beans. You know, every preacher thinks that every preacher has to believe everything exactly the same as them, or otherwise they're just, you know, wrong, don't believe in the Bible. And I think Christians are like that too. But, you know, sometimes a person could be head smart, but not really have it in their heart. What I'm trying to say is this: just because a person knows what the Bible says doesn't mean they understand it. Just because a person knows what the Bible says doesn't mean they know God. Amen? You know, there are people today in churches where they don't even believe the right salvation. But they could tell you what the Bible says. But do they know God? No, according to Scripture, they don't. Why? There's only one way to be saved, and that is through trusting Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Amen? Now, if a person today does not believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and does not trust in Him and trust in Him alone, that person is not saved. In fact, the Bible tells you that if a person who teaches another gospel other than that which is being that was preached, let that man be accursed. And so there are people today that know that Bible really well. They're not even saved. There are cults out there today that can quote Scripture to you. They're not even saved. Hey, listen, the devil even quoted Scripture there in Matthew chapter 4. Amen? So just because a person knows Scripture doesn't mean that they know God. And so there are people today that can know about God, but they don't know God. And so you say, well, you know, is it possible? Yes, it's possible to not know God, even though you may know some Scripture. Now, the difference really comes down between human wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And that's really what Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, look, if you would, what Paul has to say about human wisdom. Look at verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." He's saying this. He's saying, I didn't come as a great preacher. or a speaker. I didn't come as a philosopher to you Corinthians. I came as a preacher, and the thing that I came preaching was Jesus Christ and Christ crucified. And he said the reason I did that is, you know, I wanted your faith not to be in the wisdom of man, but to be in the power of God. In other words, he said, even, you know, there are a lot of things. Hey, listen, Paul was not a dumb man. Paul was a very educated man. Paul had learned under the greatest of Pharisees. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He had a lot of knowledge. But when he said this, he says, when I came preaching to you, I came just preaching Jesus Christ and Christ crucified. And the reason he did that is because he didn't want people to look at him and focus on him. He wanted the people to focus on the Lord. He wanted people to focus on the most important thing, and that's Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3. It says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You see, the danger there was that Paul was, because he was a highly educated man and very brilliant, even though he was a man of who knew more than one language. You heard him speak in Hebrew at one time there. He spoke in Greek. He was a world traveler. He was an intellectual. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. And Paul was saying, I don't want to use these things because if I get, he might get carried away with me. And you say, well, I don't believe there's a danger in that today. Certainly there's a danger in that today. Listen, there are preachers that get up today and it's almost like people are drawn to listen to what they say just because of the education that they have. How many of you have ever been to a church where everybody there was doctors? I remember one time I went to a church. I kid you not. I remember I went there and I was sitting there with my pastor and we went to a preacher's conference and everybody up there was doctors. And they said, we want to introduce Dr. So-and-such. Dr. So-and-such, this is Dr. So-and-such. And we want to introduce this doctor over here, Dr. So-and-such. This is so-and-such. There's nothing wrong with having an education. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's almost like they're a doctor this and doctor that. I thought I was in a hospital instead of a church. And you know, why did they do that? Well, there's nothing wrong with it, but sometimes, you know, preachers want people to listen to them and focus on them. And this is Dr. So-and-so. You know what the greatest thing you'd ever call me is? It's not, even if I got my doctorate, it would not be Dr. Crowder. It would be brother. Why? That's the most important thing you could call me. Why? Because it's more important for me to be a brother in Christ to you, being in the family of God, than it is to be some doctor. You know, listen, people say, well, why would you go get your doctorate? Why would you go get this? And I want to encourage you, if you want to increase your education, do it. But honestly, the reason I do it is because if I'm out there witnessing, and there's one lost person who says, you know what, I don't think you know what you're talking about, when I say, well, I'm Dr. Bob Crowder, maybe they'll listen enough to maybe they'll get saved. That would be the only reason that I would do it. Nah, that's not about what the sermon's about, but it's all extra. Amen? And so, listen, the bottom line is this. As Paul said this, he goes, when I came, I didn't come so you could look at me and lift me up on the pedestal. Even though I have the education and I have all these different things and I could speak to you in human wisdom, I mean, because after all, Paul was taught that. I could teach you, you could look at me because I know two languages and you could look at me as being something. But he said this, when I came to you in fear and trembling, and I preached Jesus Christ crucified. In other words, I don't want you to look at me as if I'm anything. Listen, I want you to look towards the one that I'm preaching about, Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something, folks, that's what Paul said there. He was saying this, I don't want anybody to look at me. That's the way we should be. We shouldn't want anybody to look at us. We shouldn't want anybody to lift us up on a pedestal. A preacher should not want somebody to lift them up on a pedestal. There are people today that says, I believe this and I believe that. And you say, well, why? Well, so and such taught it. That's like we learned here a while back. It's quite a time ago. We learned why we believe what we believe. It was a series of messages. And it was just the basics. In other words, we took eternal security. And we say, why do we believe what we believe about eternal security? We went through all these different verses. And the reason why is because there are Christians today that the only reason they believe what they believe is because some man taught them. I believe this. Well, why? Well, because so and such taught me, and he would never lie. He's a great preacher, great man of God. He taught it. Well, listen, is that how you're supposed to learn your Bible? No. You're supposed to learn your Bible. When you say, I believe something, you should be able to take a verse out of Scripture and say, I believe it, and right there it is in Scripture. Amen? That's what you should. Why? Because everything that we base what we believe on should come out of the Scriptures. Otherwise, we're wasting our time. Amen? Because there are people today that teach all sorts of things. Well, I don't want you to believe what you believe based off just because I told you this. I don't want you to look at me when I preach. I want you to look at the scriptures. I want you to look at the Lord. I want you to look what he has to say about it. Why? Because he's supposed to be your focus, not me. And that's exactly what Paul was saying here. He is saying, when I came preaching to you, I don't want you to see me. I want you to see Jesus Christ. And rather than knowing about God, maybe get to actually know God. And he's saying, I don't want you to your faith to be in the wisdom of man. I don't want it to be superficial. I want it to be genuine. I want your faith to be genuine, and I want it to be your faith to be in Jesus Christ. Now look, if you would, at verse 6. He says, howbeit we speak wisdom among you, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. He's saying that all the vaunted wisdom of this world is limited. It's here on a limited time. And after a while, it's all going to be gone. It's going to be, after a while, it's going to be worthless. A million years from now, a lot of things that they're studying about today in our great centers and learning universities and things is going to mean nothing. Have you ever thought about that? All the science and all the discoveries and all the new technology you find today, what is it going to mean a million years from today? It's not going to be worth anything, right? I mean, who cares what they, I mean, we look at it now and we say, hey, I'm one that's actually, there was a time that really I didn't like technology, but I'm starting to grow warm to it. Because I'll tell you something, I'm all about indoor plumbing. Amen? I don't want to go back too far. Everybody says, well, I want to go back to when it was, you know, back in the old days. Well, you know what? I like indoor plumbing. And I will tell you this, a microwave is a little quicker than the stove. Amen? And so there are things there that we like, but the truth of the matter is all the technology in the world doesn't mean a hill of beans in a million years. It doesn't mean anything. And so so look if you would at verse 7. He goes on to say, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. The Bible's a mystery book, and for those who know the Lord. The Bible is filled with mysteries. Now, you need to understand here how the Bible uses the word mystery. A Bible mystery is a secret that you can never know until God shows you. That is a Bible mystery, okay? It's not like you read a mystery of whodunit in a novel somewhere. A mystery is something that is unrevealed by God. That's what a mystery is. And so that's what mystery means in the Bible. And regardless of how brilliant a person may be, he can never understand it until God shows him. Doesn't matter how educated a person is, he can never understand the mysteries. He can never understand anything in that Bible until God reveals it to him. Human wisdom is limited because the things that are known of God are mysteries that can only come by divine revelation. Now look if we would at verse 8. And here he speaks of the wisdom of heaven, and he says this, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, when you continue to cross-reference your scripture there, talking about the princes of this world, it's referring to devils. It's referring to this world. And it says here that if they had known what the cross had meant, they never would have crucified Jesus. Why is that? Because when Jesus Christ was crucified on the devil on the cross, the devil was defeated. You see, people could get saved forever. I mean, sinners could get saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. That's because of the cross. If the cross hadn't happened, nobody could be saved today. I mean, you think about that. And so, of course, they would have never sent the Lord to be crucified had they known. But hey, that's mystery. That was a mystery that God had, that he knew before the foundation of the world. God knew that he was going to have Jesus Christ die on the cross. He already knew that, but it was kept secret. Why? Because God's smart. Amen? He's not going to let everybody know that mystery. He's not going to let everybody know that the plan that he had. And so you say, well, wait a second. I thought it wasn't devils that put Jesus Christ on the cross. I thought men did it. Well, yes, men did it. But men did it using the wisdom that comes from beneath. And the Bible says that's sensual and devilish. Men such as Pharisees and Sadducees and lawyers and scribes, these were considered the smartest people of their time. You didn't become a member of the Sanhedrin by being dumb. You had to be educated. You had to know things. I mean, these were not stupid men. They were the best of the best minds that the world had to offer. And may I tell you, when they crucified Jesus Christ, they didn't do it without thinking about it. They pondered it. They thought about it. Look how many times in Scripture that they sought to kill Jesus. And they kept on thinking about it. And they took counsel together. In other words, they plotted about it. And they thought about it. They put their minds together. But it was the wrong wisdom. It wasn't wisdom from above. It was from wisdom from beneath. And God forbid that we ever think that we can fix the world's problems with the wisdom of this world. That's what we do. We think that the problems of this world can be fixed by the wisdom of this world. They'll never be fixed with it. You know what the wisdom of this world has done? The wisdom of this world was the one that put Christ on the cross. Now, even though that was God's plan, by men, they didn't do God's plan knowing they were doing God's plan. They did it by what they thought was the wisdom of the world. It was the wisdom of the world that tried to kill Paul. That's the wisdom of the world. And people today think that we can fix today's problems in this world with the wisdom of the world. No, you can't do that. The only things that will fix this world's problems are the wisdom from above, and that's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because, so here God talks about, or Paul talks about the difference between human wisdom and heavenly wisdom. Now, I want you just to think with me a few moments tonight about the blessedness of heavenly wisdom and how to really know God tonight. And the first thing I want to say is this, and that is, if you're going to know God, it takes a miracle. If you're going to know God, it takes a miracle. If anybody here knows God tonight, which I hope if you're saved that you know God, amen? If you are saved, you know God and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. But may I tell you, it was a miracle that happened. You say, well, what's the miracle? The miracle is that God took the initiative to disclose himself to you, and that is the miracle, okay? Now look again, if you would, at verse 4. It says this. Paul says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Drop down to verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Now what do these verses mean here when Paul talks about demonstration of Spirit and power? Paul said, "I didn't want to come as an orator. I didn't want to come as a philosopher. I'm coming to you with an explanation, not a demonstration." Paul realized that he was totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit to do his work. And we need to remember that too. There's nobody here today who is able to explain or argue somebody into the kingdom of God. You know, what we think is this, is if I could just convince them, if I can just convince them that there really was that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You know, they have that creation science research thing that you'll hear on the radio. And I'm not against that. I mean, it's really some interesting stuff. But the truth of the matter is you're not going to argue somebody in heaven trying to prove whether or not there was a flood, prove whether or not there was, you know, in the beginning God. I mean, we can sit there and argue with the atheist all day long. That's not going to win them to the Lord. You know what's going to win them to the Lord? It's not anything you say. It's the God revealing himself to that person, convincing that person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what's going to win that person. In other words, it's not your words, it's God's words. Those are the words that give life. Bob Crowder's words doesn't give life, but God's words does. Now listen, if you're here tonight and you're saved, you were saved by a miracle. And that miracle is God revealed himself to you. Through the Holy Spirit, he reproved you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he showed you that you were a sinner. Amen? Now, when you were born, you already had inside you, you knew there was a God. If you don't believe that, read Romans chapter 1. It's plain as day, okay? Everybody knows that there's a God. A person says, well, I'm an atheist. Well, you can call yourself that, but you're lying to yourself. Because everybody knows there's a God. And not only do you put it here, but it also says the heavens declare the glory of God. So when you look outside, you can see God everywhere you look. So a person today says he's an atheist. Truly, the Bible has said, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Because you're denying what's on the inside and you're denying what you see, and only a fool would do that. Amen? But we could sit there and we could argue with that atheist until the cows come home about whether there was a flood, about whether or not in the beginning was God. That's not going to win that atheist. You know what's going to win that atheist? Give him the gospel. And let the power of God do the work. Amen? That's what you have to do. Listen, you can win the argument. You could prove to, you could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt there was a flood and that person still would not get saved. Not by your words. You know what he'll do? He'll find something else to argue about. He'll find something else to pick about. Listen, the only thing that's going to save somebody is the power of God. That's the reason Paul said, listen, when I came preaching, I preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because he knew it didn't matter how educated he was, it didn't matter how well-spoken he was, it didn't matter what kind of orator he was, none of that would make a difference. That's his power. That's his wisdom. The only thing that was going to make a difference in the church of Corinth to those lost people that were in that city of Corinth, the only thing that was going to make a difference was the power of God in the gospel that he was preaching. And so that's what Paul is trying to get through here. And what he's saying is this: it is a miracle when a person gets saved. We need to remember that. You cannot know God by yourself apart from the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul says in verse 4, he says this, "For I know nothing by myself," he says. You know what John the Baptist said? John the Baptist said in John 3:27, he says, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Listen, the knowledge that you have of God didn't come from me. It didn't come from some preacher. The knowledge that you have from God only comes from God himself. And he's the one who took the initiative to reveal himself to you. What you know about God today, you learn from God. Everything that you know about God today, you learn from him. And it was revealed to you in Scripture. And therefore, by yourself, you couldn't know anything about God. If he did not take the initiative and tell you that and reveal it to you, you couldn't. That's reading Paul said, "For I know nothing by myself." John said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above." You're talking about something, a verse that pulls a rug out from under somebody's intellectual pride. When it says a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Now that's a humbling verse, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 12:3. "No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." You can't even say that Jesus is the Lord unless it's revealed to you. Peter looked at Christ in Matthew chapter 16:16, and he said this, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know what Jesus said? Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Peter could not even have known that Jesus was Christ unless God revealed it to him. Everything you know about God today is because God revealed it to you. If you say, "I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God," amen. But you didn't get it from me, you got it from God. God revealed that to you. And folks, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. Do you realize you're talking about the creator of all things coming to you personally and saying, "Hey, let me tell you a little bit about myself. Let me tell you a little bit about me." And all of a sudden you listen, and pretty soon you start to know God. You don't just know about him, you start to actually know him. You know, before I got married, I knew about my wife by hanging around, but I really didn't know her until after I married her. Hang around her every day, talk to her every day. Pretty soon, now I know her pretty good. Amen. I know what's going to make her mad. I know what's going to make her happy. I know these things. Why? Because I know her now. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians, is to know God more and more and more. Not just know about him, not to say, "Well, you know, he created the heaven and the earth." Hey, the devils know that. Not just knowing, "Well, you know what, Jesus is the Son of God." The devils know that. But do you really know God tonight? Do you really know what he likes? What he dislikes? The things that are going to make him, you know, the things that are not going to please him, the things that are going to please him. How well do you know him? And that's what Paul was trying to teach these people, is to teach them to know God. Not just know about God, but to know him. But everything that you know when it comes to God is because of the miracle of him revealing it to you. I am totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God tonight to know him. And to tell you the truth, I'm totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit tonight to take the message that I'm preaching and apply it to your heart. I can't do it. I can't. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. I can preach truth, but only the Holy Spirit can impart truth. This is why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, he says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost." That's the reason we ought to pray for each other and ask God to help us to understand the truth that's being preached. That's why we need to pray before we read our Bible. Every time we need to pray before we read our Bible and say, "Lord, help me to understand the words that I'm reading. Help, Lord, help me apply these words to my heart, Lord. Help me to understand. Here's what I'm saying. It is a supernatural act of God. It's a demonstration of power of the Holy Ghost. No man can receive anything except to be given to him from heaven. And Paul said of this, he said, of myself, I know nothing. Now, it takes a miracle. Not only that, but there is a method to the miracle of knowing God. In other words, we know it takes a miracle, but how did that miracle take place? Well, this is really what this scripture is talking about. It's telling you how God takes his knowledge and miraculously reveals it to you. Now, keep this in mind. You have an absolutely holy God who is perfect. And you have man whose heart is wicked, whose thoughts are not so good, who messes up, who has flesh. The Bible says we don't even know how to pray to God because, you know, who he is and who we are. We need to have somebody who's going to intercede for us to take our prayers before the Lord. That shows you the difference between us and God. Amen? So if we need an intercessor to get our prayers to God, so in other words, because we don't know how to pray, really, we don't know what to ask for, because just by ourselves, we're selfish. By ourselves, we're covetous. Just by ourselves, we have wicked intentions. Lord, help me to win the lottery. You know, we have these intentions. And so we don't even know how to pray. So when we pray, you have the Holy Spirit that says, now, Lord, this is what he said, but here's what he means. Amen? We have an intercessor there. You say, well, then how does the miracle of God revealing himself, how does it work the other way? In other words, we have an intercessor take our prayers to God, but when God wants to reveal himself to us, what's the method? What's the method he uses? Well, to tell you the truth, it's pretty close to being the same thing. Leave you with starting at verse 9. It says this. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love God. Now, I will tell you that right there, most people stop at the end of that verse, never read any more, and say, well, that right there is teaching about heaven. We can never know about heaven, and you know, and that's what they teach. But that's not what this passage is teaching. Why? You got to read the context. Keep on reading. We read again. But as it written, eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now here's what Paul's saying. He's saying the method of God's teaching us about himself and the method of God imparting his wisdom to us miraculously is the Holy Spirit in the human spirit. Now, I want to explain that. Notice in verse 9 he says this. He said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. What does he mean by that? He means that you're not going to learn with your eyes, you're not going to learn with your ears, and to tell you the truth, you're not going to learn with your heart. Now, my eyes can read, probably not as good as it used to. Okay, I got to hold the Bible out here now when I read. But my eyes can read, I can read the words, I can hear words, and I can accumulate facts, and I may have facts about God. But I'll not know God. I'll not know God. I will not, in other words, I can't learn him with my eyes and my ears. And you say, well, you can learn him with your heart. No, you can't. Not at first you can't. If you're saved here tonight, the moment you got saved and you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, did you know God completely when you stood up? Listen, you knew that he saved you, but you had a lot to learn about God. Amen? You didn't know anything. God had to reveal that to you after you were saved. And if you're growing as a Christian, you've learned more and more and more and more, and you know God better today than what you knew when you first got saved. Amen? You know him better. You know him more. And so that's what he's talking about here. You can't learn him with your eyes. You can't learn him with your ears. You can't learn him with your heart. Your heart's your emotions. Your heart is not going to understand all these things. Sometimes we operate on emotions. There are people today that say, well, I just don't feel saved, so I don't think I am. Well, listen, it doesn't matter what you feel, folks. What matters is what does the Bible say? Person says, I don't feel saved. I say, well, did you trust in Jesus Christ? Yes, I did. Well, it doesn't matter what you feel. You're going to go to heaven. Now, if you have a conviction that you have not been saved, that's different. Amen? I mean, you know whether or not you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know that. If you have, you have. If you haven't, you haven't. But what I'm trying to say is this, is some days you're going to wake up and you're just not going to feel very saved. But that doesn't mean you're not. If you've already trusted in Jesus Christ, you're just as saved. It doesn't matter if you feel it or not. Amen? You're still going to heaven. So what I'm trying to say is our heart sometimes can deceive us. You can't just operate according to your heart, because your heart, according to that Bible, is a wicked thing from time to time. And so God has given us His Spirit that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. And God is known, He makes Himself known to us by His Spirit. And it's not only the Holy Spirit who reveals God to us, but it's the human spirit that receives what the Holy Spirit has to give. Look at verse 10. It says, but God hath revealed Him to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. Look at verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Who knows Bob Crowder? I mean, if you think about it, who in this building knows Bob Crowder? Well, people say, well, your kids know me. No, they know about me. Your wife knows me. No, she knows about me. But who really knows Bob Crowder? Bob Crowder knows Bob Crowder. Amen? And God knows Bob Crowder. I mean, truly, now that's what it's saying. Look here. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? The one that real truly knows you is you. Don't tell me what they are, but how many of you have secrets that you would never tell somebody? Yes, you do. Everybody in this room has a secret that you would never tell somebody. Oh, I hold no secrets back from my spouse. Oh, come on. Everybody has a secret that you will take to your grave. Amen. It was something that you did in the past, or something you didn't, that you're not proud of. It's something that, you know, something that you thought or whatever. You don't tell everybody everything. Amen. We all have that. But you know that. You know things about yourself tonight that nobody else in this room knows. Everybody here does that. But God knows it. And you know it. Now here's what the Bible says. God takes His Spirit, and then He brings His Spirit, and His Spirit gets with our spirit, and that's how God reveals Himself to us. And so that's what He's talking about. And then look at verse 11. He says, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. How can I, if I being a finite, how can I, you know, if I'm a finite person and I don't know you, how in the world can me being finite know God who's infinite? How can I do that? I can in my own power. I can't. How can I with my natural abilities know the supernatural? It is impossible. That's the reason God says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We don't think the same way as God does. We have our spirit, He has His spirit. There's no way we can possibly know what God thinks, how He works, what He likes, what He dislikes. There's no way we know anything personally about God unless He reveals that information to us. And how does He do that? Well, would it be possible for you to know another person? The only way you could is to get inside of that person. The only way you can know the secrets that I have is for you to get inside me and know my spirit. Amen? That's the only way you would ever know the secrets that I have on the inside. That's the only way I truly know you. Now, you could sit there and you could tell me about yourself, and you know, and your spouse who's been with you a long time, they could tell you a whole lot about you. Your kids could tell you a whole lot about, tell people a whole lot about you. But even they are not going to know all the secrets that's on the inside. They're not going to know who you are truly on the inside. The only way to do that is actually get on the inside of them and know their spirit and talk to their spirit, right? That's how God does it. That's how God reveals Himself to us. The moment you were saved, He put the Holy Spirit of God within you. And that Holy Spirit of God within you started to speak to your spirit about God and teaching you from the inside all about God and revealing to you the things of Him. Everything about Him. It's the Holy Spirit that when you pray, he intercedes to get those prayers to God. And when God reveals himself to you, it's the Holy Spirit that's within you revealing it back to you. How many of you see that tonight? That's what Paul's talking about. So when he gets up here and he says, listen, when I come preaching, I preach Jesus Christ crucified. I didn't want you to look at me because I'm not going to make a difference in your life, but the Lord will make a difference in your life. And he's saying this, what you know, everything you know is because God revealed it to you. You say, well, how did that happen? He did it through his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is communing with your spirit on the inside and teaching you everything there is to know about God as you're reading the scriptures. And so when you're reading the scriptures, all of a sudden you start to read and you say, wow, I understand that. That's really speaking to my heart. That's because you're saved. And you have the Holy Spirit within you, and the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Now, an unsaved person cannot read his Bible and understand those things. Why? Because he doesn't have that communication. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit within him that's with his spirit where God can reveal himself to that unsaved person. He can't know God more. He can't know God intimately being unsaved. He can't because the line of communication is broken. There's no Holy Spirit within him. Look what it says right here. Look what it says in verse 14. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the things that you know when it comes to God tonight, it's a miracle because God revealed them to you through his spirit to your spirit. And therefore, you know things about God. When you read his words, God's speaking to you through his spirit and you're learning him. But a lost person doesn't have that. When that lost person reads a scripture, he can read the words the same as you can. He can quote scripture the same as you can. But he ain't got a clue what that's talking about spiritually because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit within him communing with his spirit and teaching him anything about God. Here's what the only thing he can know is this, that he's a sinner. He knows that. He knows that there's a God. Romans chapter 1, he knows that. And when you show him the scriptures, now get this, when you walk up to him and you witness to a lost person, you show him the scriptures, God will use those scriptures to reprove him of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's not going to teach him everything about God. He's going to reprove him of three things. Sin, that he's guilty. That the wages of sin is death. He's going to have to pay a price for that. That would be the judgment. Remember, sin, righteousness, and judgment. One of these days, he's going to stand before God, and he's going to be guilty, and he's going to have to pay that price. Righteousness. Jesus Christ died in his place on that cross. That's what the Holy Spirit reveals to a lost person. Everything else in that Bible, he ain't going to get. That's the reason whenever you go up to witness somebody, you make sure you give them the Word of God, you give them the gospel. And the Lord will take that, and he'll apply to that person and say, here's the truth. Now do something with it. And if that person says, okay, deep down on the inside, I know I'm a sinner. Every time you witness, get this, every time you witness to somebody and they're lost, the second they read those words, at that point, deep down, they know they're a sinner. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit reproves them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He knows he's a sinner. And you talk to him and he knows that. And you tell him that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. And he's like, yep, I understand that. And you know, if you stand before God, there's going to be a wages to pay for your sin. Well, yeah, I get that. He gets it because God revealed that part to him. Now, if he rejects Jesus Christ, if he says no, I know I'm not going to get saved or get out of my face or whatever they say, at that point, what has he done? He's rejected God. Because God revealed something to him, and he said, no thanks. What did you do? You simply gave him the words that the Holy Spirit would use to convince, to reprove him of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what you did. You did good. Amen? So any person today that does not get saved, it's because they rejected the Holy Spirit's reproving. They rejected God and rejected Jesus Christ. That's the reason if a person dies, they'll die in their sins and they will spend eternity in hell. Why? Because listen, it is a miracle that every time you witness somebody, you're witnessing a miracle. You realize that? You're witnessing a miracle because the Holy Spirit is speaking to somebody and giving them a chance to be saved. When you give somebody the gospel, that's what's happening. The Holy Spirit is reproving that person of sin, rights, and judgment right before your eyes. And it's great when they say, you know what, I think I will be saved. And all of a sudden you're like, amen. And then you tell them how to, you know, to go ahead and say, hey, you need to ask the Lord to save you, and you need to believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that person bows his head and he prays and asks the Lord to forgive him. And all of a sudden he stands up and he's got that bright shining in his eyes. And you're like, amen. And if you're like me, lip starts to quiver and you start to, you know, start to cry a little bit. It's a wonderful thing. That's a miracle when a person gets saved. It's a miracle the second they hear the gospel too, because it's Holy Spirit speaking to them. But everything else in that Bible, that lost person is not going to get. If anything when it comes to spiritual stuff, that lost person is not going to get any of it. Why? Because everything that the Lord reveals to you about himself is through that Holy Spirit that's inside of you. That's what the whole thing's about. But a lost person is not going to see that. That is the method. Now, there are three things here. Three supernatural things that God uses to communicate with our spirit. And I want to talk about them, then we'll close. The first thing is that there is supernatural revelation. Look again at verse 10. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's supernatural revelation. God just simply reveals himself by his Spirit. He discloses himself. He takes the initiative. And it's not because we loved him, but because he loved us first. And he has revealed himself to us supernaturally. Now, not only is there a supernatural revelation, there is also supernatural inspiration. Because what God revealed was recorded. Everything that God said, men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then those words were written down. That's what we call scripture today. Scripture is the written words of God. The written words that were spoke by the prophets that were written down, that's what scripture is. And because what God revealed was recorded, and the recording of what God revealed, we call that the Bible. And the Bible is given to us by supernatural inspiration. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 13. It says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Every word in the Bible is given by inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what that means? He quoted scripture there. And he said, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what he just told you? That every word in your Bible are God's words. Every word in that Bible are God's words. Man spake them as God gave it to him. They were written down. Those are the very words of God. When you hold your Bible, you're holding the very words of God. That's verbal inspiration. God gave us his words to put in our Bible. So you have supernatural revelation where God takes initiative and reveals himself. You have supernatural inspiration where the words of God are recorded and all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then you also have supernatural illumination. And what that basically means is this. God reveals himself. God gives you his word. But somebody's got to turn the light on to where you understand it. Look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. A lost person comes to a place like this, and he doesn't understand the things that even I'm talking about tonight. He can enjoy service. He can come to the service and he can enjoy friendly people. But the natural man cannot receive the spiritual things of God. Why? It's all over his head. He hears about God, but he doesn't know God. He doesn't receive these things. The Bible says he can't know them because he's spiritually discerned. Therefore, the Holy Spirit of God must help him to understand. In other words, he has to be saved, and then the Holy Spirit of God will teach him these things. But as a Christian, when you study your Bible, here's the prayer that you ought to pray. Because after all, you have the Holy Spirit of God within you, and it's God who wants to reveal things to you. So you know what you need to do before you pray or before you read your Bible? You need to pray and say, Lord, help me to understand. Lord, take these scriptures and teach me something. Lord, in the sermon, give me a blessing, Lord. Give me what you want me to have on this thing. Teach me something. And I guarantee you this, every time you do, the Lord will teach you something. you'll just ask him to do it. You know why? Because that's how he communicates himself to you. That's how he reveals himself to you. It's through those scriptures by the Holy Spirit that comes into you and communes with your spirit and teaches you the things of God. It's not just reading your Bible and say, okay, I'm going to read my Bible through 50 times this year. Well, if you do, that's great. But don't do it just to be reading the Bible. You read the Bible to hear from God. You read the Bible so God can take those words and to teach you more about Him, to where you know God more and more and more, because He's revealing it to you. He's illuminating the Word to you, and He's giving you understanding to it. How many of you have ever read a scripture and you read that thing like five times and you say, I have absolutely no idea what that scripture is talking about? You read it again, you're like totally lost. That's the way I am when I get to Ezekiel, parts of Ezekiel. That's the way I am when I get some of the minor prophets. I read about things and I'm like, I ain't got a clue. You know what? I have prayed over that and prayed over that, and the Lord still has not revealed that to me yet. But it doesn't mean that one day He won't. As we all continue to grow, the Lord is going to reveal things more to you. I'll give you an example. When it comes to your kids, you have a lot of information that would help them out, and your grandkids, right? But how many of you agree tonight that there are some things that they just aren't ready to learn yet? Though it's true, though what you would be telling them is absolute truth, they're just not ready for that yet. And so you know what you say? You say, you know, I'm not going to teach them that yet. I'll teach them other things, and I'll teach them the basics on it, but I'm not going to get too deep into that because they're just not ready yet for that. That's the same way we are. There are things that we're just not ready yet for. I mean, not ready yet for. There's things that we're just not ready for yet. And so the Lord's not going to teach us those things until we're ready. But what I want you to see tonight is this. When Paul came preaching, he understood how God reveals himself to us. And so when he came preaching, he said, listen, when I came here, I didn't come to try to lift myself up. I didn't call myself Dr. Paul. I didn't try to lift myself up. I didn't tell you how educated I was. I didn't tell you how good an orator I was. I didn't come here bragging about myself. I came here to preach Jesus Christ crucified. Because when I preach that, when I preach the Lord, that's when the Lord's going to take the Holy Spirit and He's going to reveal Himself to you. In other words, He says, my job is just the messenger. Everything else happens between you and the Lord. And tonight, that's what I want you to understand. When I preach before you tonight, when I preach before you any time, I don't want you to look at me. I don't want you to think about me. Unless when another preacher preaches, don't think about who they are and what they've done. If they're successful, God bless them, great. But don't say, I'm going to listen to him because of who he is. He's a sinner just like you are. He makes mistakes just like you do. And listen, you're not going to learn the Bible from him. You learn the Bible from the one who reveals it to you every time that you read it through the Holy Spirit of God. But a natural man doesn't have what you have. So when it comes to knowing God tonight, really it comes down just to keeping those lines of communication open. We pray to God, then the Holy Spirit takes our prayers to the Lord, intercedes for us, and the Lord reveals himself through the Holy Spirit back to our spirit, and we learn more about God. Now, if you do not know God tonight more than you did, say, last year, then where's the breakdown of communication at? Where's it at? It can only be two places. It's either you talking to God or God talking to you. Now, God has already set up the method. He's already got the Holy Spirit within you. He's prepared to reveal himself to you. And if you're not growing in the knowledge and the grace of God, if you have not grown in this past year, then the communication line has been broken somewhere, because that's the only way that you can not know more about God. Amen? So really what it means is this. I mean, after all this message, what it all means is this. If you're not growing, then you haven't been reading your Bible. And if you're not growing, you haven't been praying. Amen? Now, that's just the way it is. Because Paul showed you right here how the whole process works. And you can't get past how the whole process works. So the question tonight is, do you know God more tonight than you've done in the past? I'm not talking about knowing about God. I'm not talking about, you know, I know how many, you know, I fully understand how the flood and all that. Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about knowing God more personally. Do you know him more personally than you have before? Let's stand.